Hare Krishna, it's it. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, I welcome you all once again to Bhakti Sangha Jaipur conference call for this sweet morning session. Today we are very fortunate to have a beautiful association of Her Grace, Kirti Sundar Mataji. Mataji will be enlightening us on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda 2.128. Hare Krishna, Kirti Sundar Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time and beautiful association this morning. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Guru and Gauranga ki jai. Please take over the class, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Can't hear you, Mataji.
You are muted. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharajas. And all the assembled Vaishnavas. Thank you all so much for joining, for your wonderful, blissful association. Should we start?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Okay, so let's offer our prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshadarine Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivaspadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchatattvatakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarukavam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So offer my prayers to all the assembled Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So today actually someone else was scheduled to give class, but unfortunately last moment it was cancelled. So I was supposed to serve now. So not 100% well prepared, but because it's Chaitanya Bhagavat, such a simple language used by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, so I accepted this service and I'll simply be reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So just bear with me. So before starting Chaitanya Bhagavat, let's say the invocation prayers for Chaitanya Bhagavat. Anandalila maya vigrahaya Hema bhadevya chavi sundaraya Tasmai maha prema rasa pradaya Chaitanya chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Ajanulambita Bhujau Kanakavadhatau Sankirtanai Kapitarau Kamalaya Takshau Vishwambharau Dvijavarau Yuga Dharma Palau Vande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavatarau. Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Jayati Jayati Kirti Stasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Bhritya Stasya Vishveshva Murtir Jayati Jayati Nityam Tasya Sarva Priyanam. Okay, so please don't be miser. I really need all your blessings, your wishes, your prayers, so that I can do something relevant towards this topic, this wonderful topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So we are in the section where Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing the condition of all the Navadvip Vasis. So what he's saying is that they were very scholarly, very, very learned, very, very wealthy. So that means Mother Saraswati, Mother Lakshmi have bestowed all their blessings on all the Navadvipasis. But with all this came pride. They were very proud of their positions. They were proud of their scholarly knowledge. They were proud of their wealth. And so because of that proud, what happens when we become proud is we don't rise up in bhakti. We fall in bhakti. And that's what was happening. All the Navadvipasis, they were devoid of devotion for Krishna and Balaram. They were devoid of any kind of devotional service. They were engaged in demigod worship, like worship of Mother Durga, Chandi. And that too, not asking for high devotional service, but asking for more mundane materialistic enjoyment, paraphernalia. So that's what they were worshipping for. So their condition was very, very pathetic. And among all those, you know, there were a group of devotees who were very, very sad seeing this situation of other Navadvipasis, because they were very devoted towards Krishna and Balaram. And among those devotees was our shining crest jewel, Agraganyam, that is Vrindavan Das Thakur describes, and he was Sri Advaita Acharya. So we went through that, how Advaita Acharya, he prayed to Lord Krishna, he prayed to his Narasimha Shaligram Shila with Tulasi water and Tulasi Manjaris, with Ganga water and Tulasi Manjaris. And he was roaring like a lion. Hohunkara Garjanadi Aho Ratra Sadgunam. So this way he was roaring and he was calling upon Lord Sri Krishna to bestow, to come, to descend in this material world and bestow his blessings on all these fallen souls. So Vrindavan Das Thakur then future, and then in, you know, next verses, he describes how Mahaprabhu was so pleased on the call of Advaita Acharya that he appeared in front of Advaita Acharya and said that I'm so much pleased with your devotion, and I'll appear as Gaurasundar, as she Gaura Hari, and I'll take the form of, you know, Dviti of Radharani. So I will come in a golden complexion, and I will propagate this chanting of holy names throughout the world. Hearing this, Advaita Acharya and all the other group of devotees who were very, very devoted to Lord Sri Krishna, they were very much pacified. And then Lord ordered all his associates that go and take birth in Navadvip Tham or in other places, because when Lord descends, he descends with his entire entourage. And not only the devotees, even the Dham descends with Krishna. So the Navadvip Dham, Mahaprabhu came with his entourage, with his paraphernalia, with his entire Navadvip Dham. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur describes about the various associates who took birth into various places just to assist Mahaprabhu when he will incarnate. So finally, when all the associates have taken their appearance in this Navadvip Dham, then Mahaprabhu was so happy that he finally decided that now is the time that I have to incarnate. And so the Lord prepared his advent. But then what happened is, text 128, that is the first verse for today. ईश्वर आज्ञा आगे श्री अनंत धाम, राधा अव राड़े अवतीर्ण हैला नित्यानंद राम. सो बिफोर लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु मेक्स हिज डिसेंट, ही ऑर्डर्ड ईश्वर आज्ञा पाए, टेकिंग द ऑर्डर्स ऑफ महाप्रभु अनंत शेष हु इज लॉर्ड बलराम. ही came Anant Dham, he came and Rad Avartirna, he took birth, he took his appearance in Radadesh, and he became to be known as Shri Nityananda Ram. Shri Nityananda Ram ki jai. So on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Chandra, Balaram, who is non-different from Ananta, appeared as Nityananda Swarup in the village of Ekachakra of Radadesh. मघमशे शुक्लत्रयोदशी शुभ दीने पद्मावती गर्भे एका चक्र नाम ग्रामे हदाई पंडित नामे शुद्ध विप्र राजा मूले सर्व पीता ताने घरे पीत व्याजा. So now Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing the identity of Sri Nityananda Ram, and you know how, when, where he appeared, who were his parents. And he's saying, Magha Mashe, in the month of Magh, Shukla Trayodashi, in the Shukla Paksha. You know, we know that there are two Pakshas, Krishna Paksha and Shukla Paksha. So one is the waning moon, which is Krishna Paksha, and one is the Shukla Paksha, that is waxing moon. So in that waxing moon time period, on the Trayodashi day, at the 13th day, Shubha Dene, the most auspicious day, Padmavati Garbe, in the womb of Mother Padmavati, and Ekachakra Namadhame, at the village of Ekachakra, Nityananda Prabhu appeared. And what he did? Hadai Pandite Nama Shuddha Vipra Raja. So there was, Vipra Raja means the king of all the Vipras, all the Brahmanas, means the best of the Brahmanas. And his name was Hadai Pandit. So Nityananda Prabhu accepted him as his pita, as his father. So he appeared from the womb of Padmavati in the village of Ekachakra on the auspicious 13th day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh. That Lord, the original father of everyone, accepted Hadai Pandit, the king of the Brahminas, as his father. So this month of Magh is January and February. So we all know that how English calendar starts with the first day, that is 1st January to 30th January, which is the month of January. Then 1st of the 28th, that is the month of February. Then 1st to 30th is the month of March, 31st. So this is how from 1st to 30th or 31st describes the whole, you know, month. But in lunar calendar, this is not as such. It is described between the from Purnima to Purnima. Okay, that comes, it can come any time. So from Purnima to Purnima is the month. Okay, that full moon to full moon. So it is generally during the month of February, which starts from the January mid and to February mid. That's what the appearance of Nityananda Prabhu is. So the month of Magh, on the 13th day of the waxing moon, Magha Mashe Shukla Trayodashi, Nityananda Prabhu decided and he appeared. Kripa Bindu Bhakti Data Prabhu Bale Rama Avatirna Haila Dhari Nityananda Rama. So this Lord Balaram is who? He is Kripa Sundu. He is ocean of mercy. He is Bhakti Data. He is bestower of bhakti, devotional service. Prabhu Balaram, his name is Balaram. Avatirna Haila, he appeared, he incarnated Dhari Nityananda Nam, and he accepted the name of Nityananda. Mahajaya Jaya Dhavni Pushpa Varishana Sangope Devata Gana Kari Lata Khana. So when Balaram, he appeared as Nityananda Prabhu, so what happened? Mahajaya Jaya Dhavni, there was the loud chanting of Jai Jai, and who was chanting? Sangope Devata Gana. Sangope means in a very incognito, not like everybody, anybody cannot see them chanting. In incognito mode, all the demigods, Devata Gana, they were chanting loudly Jaya Jaya on the appearance of, on just on the conception of Balaram as Nityananda Ram in the womb of Mother Padmavati. Right now he has yet not appeared. It's just he has been conceived by Mother Padmavati. And Pushpa Varshina, and they were showering flowers. Seidina Haitarara Mandala Sakala Badite Lagila Puna Puna Sumangala. So what happened? As soon as Mother Padmavati, she conceived Nityananda Ram, she conceived Balaram, from that day onwards, right from the day of conception, the district of Raradesh, which is in Ekachakra, the Ekachakra is actually in Raradesh. So the entire district, not only the Ekachakra Dham, but the entire Raradesh became fully filled with prosperity, with all auspiciousness. Sumangala, puna puna sumangala. There was auspiciousness, continuous auspiciousness in the entire district of Raradesh. Yei Prabhu Patita Jane Nistara Karita Avaduta Veshadhari Brahmila Jagate. So now what happened? Vrindavan Das Thakur is again getting ecstatic. So he doesn't want to describe the proper, you know, amazing appearance of Nityananda Prabhu, but he's just giving a synopsis. As we already discussed that Vrindavan Das Thakur time and again gets, you know, ecstatic. And so it's everything, the verses that he quotes are not in chronological order. So, you know, he'll just sometimes give synopsis, then he'll come back to the same subject matter, then give details, and then come back to his own synopsis. So this is how, you know, the whole flow of Chaitanya Bhagavat is. So now he's saying that what happened? Ye Prabhu Patita Jane. This Nityananda Prabhu, understanding that there are so many fallen souls, Nishtara Karite, and to deliver these fallen souls, what he did? Avadhuta Veshadhari. He accepted the form of Avadhuta, not as a form of Grahastha, but he took the form of Avadhuta, means renounced order of life. And Brahmila Jagate, and he started wandering in different places throughout the world. For what? For Patita Jane Nistara Haite, for delivering the fallen souls. He traveled throughout the world. Nityananda Avatendur Vasudha Pranavallabha Janavi Jeevati Apatihi Krishna Prema Pradaprabhu Padmavati Suta Shriman Satchinandana Purvaja Bhavon Majjagatrata Rakt Gaura Kalevara. That Nityananda Prabhu, who's Avadhut, he just came to give Krishna Prema, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Right? He came for that. And he accepted the dress of a sannyasi, like a mendicant. And he roam around the entire world to deliver these fallen souls. Antera prakara haila he na mate eva suna Krishna avatila ye na mate. Now, after the appearance of Nityananda Prabhu, what happened? Anantera prakara, after the appearance of Anantashesh, now what happened? Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, Eshune, now please listen to me, that after Ananta has taken his appearance in Ekachakra, in Raradesh, Krishna Avatirla, now Krishna decided to make his appearance. Navadvipe Ache Jagannatha Mishra Vara Vasudeva Prayateho Swadharme Tatpara. Navadvipe Ache. So Nityananda Prabhu took birth in Raradesh in a village known as Ekachakra. But Mahaprabhu decided to appear in Navadvip. So Navadvip Ache. So in Navadvip, what happened? Navadvip Ache Jagannatha Vishmishra Vara. So there was a very wonderful devotee, expert. Vara means expert. He was very expert Brahmana. And his name was Jagannath Mishra. He used to live in Navadvip. Vasudeva Prayatehu Swadharma Tatpara. And he was very, very expert in following his prescribed duties. He was a very pakka Brahman. And then characteristics of Jagannath Mishra has been described. उदार चरित्र ते हो ब्राह्मण्य रसिंहा ये ना नहीं यहाँ दिया करीब उपामा। उदार चरित्र, यू नो हिज कैरेक्टर वॉज वेरी मैग्नानिमस, ही वॉज वेरी मर्सीफुल, ही वॉज वेरी उदार चरित्र, राइट, वेरी वेरी मैग्नानिमस। And Brahma is Simha, and he was the lion among all the Brahmanas. He was the best of all the Brahmanas. Hena nahi yaha diya kariba upama. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, I'm feeling incompetent by giving him a tulana, a comparison of any other Brahmana. He was first class, agraganyam. He was Simha among all the Brahmanas. And I have no comparison to make Jagannath Mishra, to compare Jagannath Mishra with any other so-called Brahmanas of this world. And then he says, Ki Kashyapa Dasharatha Vasudeva Nanda Sarva Maya Tattva Jagannath Mishra Chandra. That what to talk about the mere Brahmanas of this world? Ki Kashyapa, I cannot compare him to even the good qualities of Kashyapa. Then as of Dasharath, as of Vasudev, as of Nand Maharaj, all together, the good qualities of all of them together got manifested in the form of Jagannath Mishra. Sarva Maya Tattva, you know, all the good qualities of Kashyapa, of Dasharath, of Vasudev, of Nand Maharaj, they all were found in the person of Jagannath Mishra. He was the Chandra, he was the moon among all the stars. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes in his purport that all personifications of pure goodness like Kashyapa Muni, we all know Kashyapa Muni also gave birth to an incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna, and his name is
Vamana.
His name is Vamana Upendra, the elder brother of Indra. And then we have Dasharath, who gave birth to Ramachandra. Then, of course, Vasudev, who gave birth to our Lord Shri Krishna, who is the and of course Nanda Maharaj, who is the father of Vrajendra Nandan or Shyamasundar Krishna. So all the qualities of all these personalities got manifested in Jagannath Mishra. And then Tanna patni shachi nama mahapati vrata murti mati vishnu bhakti seja gana mata. Then Tana patni means his wife whose name was shachi nama. Normally devotees will say sachi, it's not sachi, it's shachi. Okay, so taha patni shachi nama, his name was shachi, and mahapati vrata, and she was very chaste lady, very, very chaste lady. She was Mahapativrata, always following the orders of her husband. Murti Mati Vishnu Bhakti. And she was also the Murti. She was the embodiment of Vishnu Bhakti, of devotion to Lord Shri Krishna, to Lord Shri Vishnu. And Sei Jagannatha. And she was the universal mother. She was the mother of the entire universe. That's what Vrindavan Das Thakur describes.
Bahutara kanya rahaila tiro bhava sava eka putra vishwarupa mahabhaga.
Now Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing that how Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra, they had 8 daughters. But unfortunately, by the will of the providence, all these 8 daughters died. Just as soon as they'll take birth, you know, they'll go back to their abode, you know, they will expire, they will die. But then what happened? Sabha Eka Putra. But then what happened? Vishwarupa Mahabhaga. Vishwarup, he took his appearance. So Lord in the form of Vishwarup, who is also the manifestation, you can say the partial manifestation of Lord Balaram, he took birth from the womb of Mother Shachi, and he appeared in the house of Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra.
Vishwarupa murti yena abhinamadana dekha harashita dui brahmani brahmana.
So now he is describing, Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing about Vishwarup, that who Vishwarup was. He's saying Vishwarupa murti, this Vishwarup, he was abhinamadana. Who is Madana?
Kamadev.
Yes, Cupid.
Madana is Cupid. That's why our Shama Sundar Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, who enchants Cupid. And our dear most Srimati Radharani is known as Madana Mohana Mohini, who enchants the enchanter of Cupid. Right? So this Vishwaroop, he was Abhinna Madana. He was non-different from Cupid. Means he was so attractive as Cupid himself. Dekhi Harshita Dui. And seeing him, both Brahmana and Brahmini, means Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra, they both were very, very happy, jubilant after seeing their beautiful son Vishwaroopa, because they have already lost their 8 daughters. And now having Vishwaroopa, they were very, very happy.
Janma haite Vishwaroopa haila virakti shei sabaishakala shastrera haila spruti.
So janma haite, as soon as Vishwaroopa was born, he was haila virakti. He was in a very renounced form. You know, he was very detached the time he took birth.
Sai saba shakala shastre.
And all the essence of all the shastras was very much realized by him. So from very childhood, he realized the essence or the purport or the realizations of all the shastras. He was very much known to all those things right from the birth, right from the time of his birth. And then what happened?
Vishnu bhakti shunya haila sakala samsara prathame kalite haile bhavishya achara.
And at that time, the entire world was Vishnu bhakti shunya. There was zero devotion towards Lord Sri Vishnu. The entire world, sakala samsara, the entire world was devoid of Vishnu bhakti. Prathama kalite, so we all know when Mahaprabhu came, it was the pratham kal of Kali Yuga. So we know Kali Yuga, all the yugas have their different periods, their different time periods. So right now the pratham kal is going on, the first few years of Kali Yuga is going on, right? So he's saying prathama kale. In Kali Yuga start only, the symptoms of the future Kali Yuga were displayed. So that was the position in Navadvipa. The people were full of pride, anger, greed, lust, and they were devoid of devotion of Lord Sri Krishna. So in the beginning of the Kali only, the future symptoms of Kali Yuga, which were yet to manifest, manifested in the beginning part of Kali Yuga. That was the condition of Navadvipa. It was terrible. Then what happened? What happens when dharma decreases and adharma rises? Then our Lord Sri Krishna, he incarnates, right?
Dharma tiro bhava khaile prabhu avatare bhakta sabha dukha pae janiya antare tabe mahaprabhu gaura chandra avatirla Sachi Jagannath Dehe Haila Adhishthana.
So dharma tirobhava. Tirobhava means the disappearance day. Like we celebrate the tirobhava tithis of our great acharyas, which is actually non-different from the avirbhava tithi of the great acharyas, because it's ill who sees that Vaishnavas dies, because they never die. They live in the holy name, propagating the holy name for the welfare of all the people. So dharma tirobhava, when there is a disappearance of dharma, when there is a decline in dharmic principles, prabhu avatare. Prabhu, he took his avatar.
Bhakta sabha dukha paaye.
And then what he saw? That bhakta sabha, all his devotees are in intense pain, in intense distress. They were distressed. Why? Because people were devoid of Vishnu bhakti. So they were so, you know, they were overwhelmed seeing the pathetic situation of all the Navadvipvasis. And seeing the pathetic situation, the devotees were overwhelmed. And seeing the position of devotees, Mahaprabhu got overwhelmed. And Mahaprabhu said that, I want to remove the distress of all my bhaktas. And Jani Antare, and from his heart, he understood that all my Bhaktagana are very, very unhappy. Tabe Mahaprabhu, Gaurachandra. Then Mahaprabhu, Gaura Chandra Bhagavan. So now Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that this Gaura Chandra is Bhagavan. He's saying that he is not a saint as people of this age knows him, but he is Swayam Bhagavan. That Bhagavan came as Gaura Chandra and Adhishthan. He took shelter. He appeared in the house of Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra, in the bodies of Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata. And as soon as Shachi Mata conceived Mahaprabhu, just the conception, Jaya Jaya Dhvani Haila Ananta Vadane Swapna Praya Jagannatha Mishra Shachi Sune. So as soon as Shachi Mata conceived Mahaprabhu, Jaya Jaya Dhvani Haila, there was Sri Ananta, Anantadev, he started chanting Jaya Jaya, loudly roaring, he chanted Jaya Jaya. And Swapna Praya Jagannath Mishra Shachi Sune. So Jagannath Mishra and Mother Shachi, they heard this sound of Jaya Jaya and they were thinking as if it was a dream for them. It was just a dream for them that they thought that they were hearing this sound of Jaya Jaya, because Anantadev himself was shouting. Mahatejo Murti Manta Haila Dui Jane Tathapi Halakhi Tena Pare Anya Jane. So what happened? Mahatejo, that Mahatej, that extensive brilliance, that spiritual effulgence was there Dui Jane, on both Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra. Why? Because the Supreme Lord himself has taken shelter in the bodies of Mother Shachi and Jagannath. So definitely, just by the conception of Mahaprabhu, they both, their bodies and their, basically they both emerged brilliant. They were effulgent. They become effulgence. And with spiritual effulgence, it was not some material effulgence. It was spiritual effulgence, which common people could not perceive. Tathapi lakhite na pare anyajana. Anyajana means common people were not able to understand that how come this effulgence is there in the bodies of Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra. So this is the spiritual effulgence. See, there is a material effulgence when, you know, people do lot of makeup, put lot of foundation and spend hours and hours in salon. And then they decorate their body and then somehow they look very beautiful and very, very effulgent. That is something material, which is artificial effulgence. But you might have seen that there are so many saints when, you know, they just cross you or when they just come in front of you, you feel that there is some effulgence in them. And that effulgence is because of their sadhana, is because of the spirituality that they are holding within. So that is what the spiritual effulgence, and that spiritual effulgence came in the body of Mother Shachi and Jagannath, which common people could see, but couldn't make out that what's happening with them. But we all know by Vrindavan Das Thakur that actually Krishna in the form of Gaura Sundar, in the form of Gaura Chandra, has taken shelter in the womb of Mother Shachi. Text 148. Avatirna Haibena Ishwara Janiya Brahma Shiva Adi Stuti Karena Ashiya. Now Avatirna Haibena Ishwara Janiya, knowing that the Supreme Lord would appear, personalities like Brahma Shiva Adi Stuti Karena Ashiya. And knowing that now Supreme Lord would appear, all the personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they came and they started offering their prayers to the womb of Mother Shachi. So here there is a very beautiful purport given by Srila given by His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And I would go and reflect in this purport. It is very, very important purport. What actually Prabhupada is quoting in this purport is just the translation of two most important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And these verses actually establishes the point of Mahaprabhu taking his Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's establishing this point. So this is the three verses. We all know these three verses. At least the first verse we all know. That is 11.5.32. Krishna Varanam Tisha Krishna Sangopangang Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedhasha. So what? How Mahaprabhu? Who is Mahaprabhu? This is the verse. So this actually, we'll go a little deep in this. So these three verses, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter number 5, verse 32, 33, 34. These verses were spoken by Navayogendras, and one of the Navayogendra, whose name was Karbhajana Muni. So he spoke these verses on account of asking Nimi Maharaj few questions. So Nimi Maharaj asked few questions from Karbhajana Muni, and he asked that, you know, in this age of Kali, who is the Yuga avatar of all the four ages? Who appeared as in Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga, in Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga? I want to know that Lord Sri Krishna came in these four yugas, and for what purpose they came? What was their purpose of coming in these four yugas? And what did they do? And how did they uplift the people of all these four yugas? So these were few questions that Nimi Maharaj asked from Karbhajana Muni. And Karbhajana Muni, because this is the age of Kali Yuga, he started that this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna himself will come as Mahaprabhu. So he says, Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam. So he is Tusha Krishnam. He is Krishna Varanam. So Krishna Varanam means that he will be chanting continuously the name of Krishna. That is Varanam. Varananiti, like Varanan Karna, Gana. Right? That is the meaning of Varanam. So he will be continuously chanting the name of Krishna. The personality who will appear in this, he will continuously chant the name of Krishna. And then Krishna Varanam. Krishna Varanam also means that he is the caliber. Varanam also means the caliber of Krishna. So he is non-different from Krishna. He is not less than Krishna, but he is Krishna himself. Who can be compared to Krishna? Nobody else. It's Krishna himself who can be compared from Krishna, right? So he is Atulya, right? So he is Krishna Varanam, but he is Tvisha Krishnam. Tvisha means his complexion, his body. That will be a Krishnam. Here Krishna means dark. So he will be not dark. He will be a Krishnam, means he will be yellow, golden. Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Then what will be his astra? Will be his Parshadam, his associates. He will come along with his associates. And what will he do? Yagnai Kirtanai Prayer. And he will establish the Yuga Dharma, that is Sankirtan movement. Yajanti hi Sumedasha. Yajanti means worship. And who will worship him? Only Sumedasha. Medasha means intelligent people. And Sumedamisha means who are very, very intelligent. Sumedasha, intelligent people will worship this personality. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasha. And then he describes, Karbhajana Muni continues. He wants to describe further that who this personality is. Who this personality is and what will be his qualities when he will appear in this dark age of Kali. So I'll share my screen so that you can get to the verse. It's very, very important. Hope you all can see. Yeah. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter number 5, verse number 33. The verse we quoted before was 32, right? But now it is verse number 33. Dheyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham Tirthaspadam shiva virinchinutam sharanyam Vrityartiham pranatapal bhavabdipotam Vande maha purushate charanaravindam. So Karbhajana Muni, he is telling to Nimi Maharaj, he is quoting this verse that tells the seven qualities Right? He's quoting the seven qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what phrases he is using? First phrase is paribhava gnanam. So paribhava, what is the meaning of pari? Pari means to go around. Like we say parikrama, right? So means we go around a certain place. We circumambulate Tulsi Maharani, we circumambulate temple, the deities. So pari means to go around. And bhava, paribhava, bhava we all know, is to become. Like we say, normally those who must have watched Mahabharata, at least from there you must know, it says Chiranjeevi Bhava, Vijay Bhava, right? So Bhava means to become. So this entire samsara is known as Bhava Sagar. We become ant, we become a reptile, we become a snake, we become an aquatic, we become animal, we become human. You know, this is Bhava Sagara. This is an ocean of to become, means to take shelter of the womb of 8,400,000 species. So, and this is the meaning of Bhava. So, pari means to go around, and Bhava means this repeated cycle of birth and death. Gnam means to destroy. Those who are done their Bhakti Shastri, they know that one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is klesha agni, right? People normally say it's klesha agni. It's not klesha agni. Devotional service doesn't give fire to all the kleshas, but rather it's klesha agni. Agni means to destroy. Pure devotional service, one of the characteristics of pure devotional service is klesha agni, means it destroys all the kleshas, all the conflicts, all the distress that is there in the heart of the devotees. So paribhava gnam, right? So I know you all can see the words, so just stick to the words, keep seeing this words, only then we will be able to understand. Because Karbhajana Muni is describing the qualities of Mahaprabhu. He is describing the qualities of a personality who is Krishna Varna Tusha Krishnam, who is caliber of Krishna but has taken the birth not in the form of blackish like Krishna, but a Krishna in a golden form. And whom will be worshipped, Yajanti Sumedasha, who will be worshipped by all the intelligent class, super intelligent class of people. So naturally, this verse is important, and moreover, it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So paribhava gnam, right? This is paribhava gnam. Means, what does it mean? That one who takes shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will destroy the repeated coming around, repeated birth and death, repeated cycle of birth and death of all those devotees. So he would destroy, right? He would destroy the pari means to go around, bhava means to become. So when we go around, right from Patal Lok to Satya Lok, when we go around in this cycle of birth and death, that destroys, you know, that our repeated cycle of this birth and death is being destroyed by Mahaprabhu, one who takes shelter of him. Next characteristics he describes, abhishta doham. What is the meaning of doham? Doham means to bestow, to give, dena, right? Doham, to give. And abhishta, ishta means desire. And abhishta means complete desire, right? Abhi means complete. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is abhishta doham. He completely, truly blesses the conditioned souls with the true desire that they have in their heart. And what is the true desire that a conditioned soul should have? It's not that they have, but should have. What should they have is the pure devotional service of the Supreme Lord. That's what should be the pure desire, the complete desire, the ultimate desire in the heart of all the souls. But right now, because we are so much conditioned that we don't desire to go home back to Godhead. Rather, we are happy being in this prison house, being this prisoners, being a prisoner. We are very, very happy. Why? Because We are getting all the facilities. So why we need Krishna? We don't need Krishna. And sometimes when some provoking situation comes, then, oh, Krishna, this dehe, this doho, we keep on going on with our own list. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he incarnates, he is Abhishta Doham. He doesn't give all those material desires, but he completely, he gives the, he bestows the ultimate desire that a living entity should have. And that is pure devotional service unto Lord Shri Krishna. Then the third is Tirthaspadam. Tirtha, we all know, is a holy place, right? We all know Tirtha. So Tirtha means a place of pilgrimage. But Tirtha also means pure devotees, right? Tirtha also means pure devotees. How do we know that Tirtha also means? Because we know Tirtha. Tirtha as a place of pilgrimage, we all know. But how does Tirtha means pure devotees is Bhavat Vidha Bhagavat Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Yudhishthir Maharaj now is telling to Vidur Maharaj, Vidura, when he came, then Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, that my Lord, devotees like yourself, they are non-different from holy places. Why? Because wherever you go, you carry this place of pilgrimage within you. Why? Because what is there in the pilgrimage? In pilgrimage is Krishna or is Krishna Katha. When we go to pilgrimage, why do we want to go to pilgrimage? Is because we want to associate with the devotees of Krishna. We want to associate with Krishna Katha. And these pure devotees, they carry Krishna within their heart. They carry Krishna Katha in their mouth. And therefore, they are turning all the places into the place of pilgrimage. Therefore, Tirtha also refers to pure devotees. So that, you know, reconciles this point. And we know, so the meaning that Karbhajana Muji says is that all pastime places take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the pure devotees also take shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Because it is Tirtha Spadam. Spadam means to take shelter. So Tirtha Spadam. So they take shelter of one who is 100%, you know, take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the places of pilgrimage also take shelter under him. And all the pure devotees also take shelter under the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we know the example that how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he desired to go to Vrindavan and Nityananda Prabhu said, yes, turn right and you will reach to Vrindavan. And he said, okay. And then finally, you know, he came to Prayag and then he said, where actually there was Ganga and Yamuna. And then as soon as he saw, oh, this is my Yamuna. This is Yamuna. And at that time, Mahaprabhu saw Advaita Acharya. And he said, oh, Advaita, how come you are here? So he said, how come you are in Vrindavan? So Advaita Acharya said, oh, maybe, no, no, this is not Vrindavan. This is Shantipur. He said, no, Nityananda told me that this is Vrindavan. How can you say that this is Shantipur? Then Advaita Acharya said, well, I am the resident of this place. I know in and out of this place. I stayed here for so long. So I know that this is Shantipur. So Mahaprabhu, you are in Shantipur. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu knew that Mahaprabhu is furious now because he tricked. But then Nityananda Prabhu said, the place where you are is non-different from Vrindavan. So where Mahaprabhu is, it is non-different from that holy place. That is the place of pilgrimage. And wherever the devotees of Mahaprabhu, the pure devotees of Mahaprabhu are, that itself is Tirtha. That itself is a place of pilgrimage. Right? And then we know that how, like this is the place example. There is another example of pure devotees. We know that how pure devotees also took shelter at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. We know the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was actually a Mukti Kami Vyakti, right? He wants Mukti. He was a Mukti Kami. But then when he had this discussion with Mahaprabhu for 7 days,
he got convinced that he is non-different from Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he took shelter. He just bowed down at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and accepted him as his master. We know about King Prataprudra. He was Bhukti Kami. Why? Because he was the king. But he also understood the position of Mahaprabhu and finally took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we know Prakashananda Saraswati, who was in Varanasi when Mahaprabhu went. Then he basically converted Prakashananda Saraswati from impersonalist to personalist. He was a Mayavadi. And not only him, but along with his 60,000 disciples, they all become personalist after they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the potency of Mahaprabhu that, you know, Karbhajana Muni is saying, and all our acharyas are explaining.
Gauranga nama nalaya ye Krishna bhaje geya se Krishna bahu kalepaya. Gauranga nama lei sada Krishna pada se aparade nahi rahataya.
So our Narottam Das Thakur is saying that if someone, Gauranga Namale, if someone endeavors to worship Lord Shri Krishna, Ye Krishna Bhajegiya, then if someone endeavors to worship Krishna and regularly chanting Krishna's name, but without chanting the name of Gauranga, then what happened? Say Krishna Bahu Kalepaya. He will attain Krishna, but it will take long time because he has neglected the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But yes, because that person is chanting Krishna's name, he will get Krishna, but it will take long time.
Gauranga naam lai jai sadhya Krishna paaye se aparada nahi rahitaya.
But if someone takes shelter of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then he will very soon, immediately, Ashu, or you can say Achirana. Chirkal is long time. Achir is immediately. He will achieve Krishna very soon. Why? Aparadha nahi rahitaya. Because Mahaprabhu's name doesn't accept any offenses. We all know
Gaur naam Gaur dham Gaur roop gun aparade mane nahi tare re pun.
Because Gaur naam, the name of Gauranga, the dham of Gauranga, the roop and guna, the qualities of Gauranga, they don't accept as any aparad. All these dham, Krishna dham, Krishna naam, you know, there are many offenses that can be committed. Before chanting of the holy name, we recite those 10 offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtana tabutana paya Krishna pade premadhana.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that bahu janma yadi kare Krishna sevana. If you continuously chant for many births, but if you are infested with offenses, then you will not get the ultimate goal of chanting, which is Krishna prem. But Gaur naam, Gaur dham, Gaur roopa gun, aparade mane nahi, they don't accept any kind of offense, any kind of aparad. Rather, tarite nipun. Rather, they liberate you. They give you Krishna bhakti. Therefore, our Narottam Das Thakur says,
Griha vai vanete thake, hagoranga bole thake,
whether you are in grahastha or you are in a vanaprastha, whether you are a sannyasi, whether you are a brahmachari, in whatever ashram you are, but just say Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga.
Kaho Gauranga, laho Gauranga, kaho Gaurangera namare, jai jana Gauranga bhaje, sheho amar pranare, sheho nitaye pranare.
Therefore, we should always take shelter of Mahaprabhu. So this was the third Tirthaspadam. Next comes the fourth, which is Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Nutam means, what is the meaning of Nutam? Nutam means to take shelter, right? Exclusive shelter, to bow down, Naman Karna, right? That is the meaning of Nutam.
And Sharanyam, we'll take this, the whole phrase together. Shiva Virinchi Nutam Sharanyam. So this is what the verse also says. When text 148 we read, Avatirna Haibana Ishvara Janiya Brahma Shiva Adi Stuti Karena Ashiya. So Shiva, who is Lord Shiva, Virinchi, who is Lord Brahma, Nutam, they bow down, Sharanyam, and they take exclusive shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Karbhajana Muni is now telling to Nimi Maharaj that not only mere mortal souls, but, or not only the devotees, but even the personalities like Lord Shiva, like Lord Brahma, they also bow down and take exclusive shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we all know that in Ramalila, also Lord Shiva came. Can anyone tell? Lord Shiva in Ramalila, who he was?
Hanumanji.
Yes, so he came as Lord Hanuman. Then in Krishna Lila, he comes as Thameshwar Mahadev. He protects all the dhams as Gopeshwar Mahadev, as Kameshwar Mahadev. So as Dhameshwar Mahadev, he comes and take part in Krishna Leela. And then in Chaitanya Leela, Lord Shiva came as?
Advaita Acharya.
Right. So Lord Shiva came as Advaita Acharya. So this is how even Lord Shiva, he is such an exalted personality. He also bow down, Nutam Sharanyam, he also bow down and takes shelter of that Supreme Lord who is Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam, and he takes shelter of that personality. Right? And not only Lord Shiva, but Virinchi. Virinchi, we all know, is Lord Brahma. And how Lord Brahma came? Lord Brahma in Chaitanya Leela came as?
Srivas Thakur.
No,
he came as Thakur.
Haridas. He came as Srila Haridas Thakur, where he was representing himself as Namacharya. Mahaprabhu told that this Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. Why? Because he was continuously chanting the holy name. And not only himself, but whomsoever he'll come across, he'll tell them to chant the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna. And we all know that how Lakshahira came, the prostitute who was sent by Nawab Husain Shah to blaspheme, to put down Haridas Thakur. Lakshahira also came, but when she heard the pure chanting from the mouth of Haridas Thakur, she also became devotee. And Haridas Thakur told her, Nirantra naam lokara tulsi sevana achirata paveta ve krishne racharana. So what he said, Nirantar Namlo, keep on chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord and Tulsi Sevana and do Tulsi worship. And Achirat, Chirat, we all discussed, it's a long, long time period. Achirat means very quickly, Pave Krishnera Charana. You will be sheltered at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So this was the fourth. The fifth adjectile phrase that was used is Brityarthi Ham. So, Britya, we all know, Britya means servant, right? Britya means servant. And Arti, we know, distress, right? In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, four kinds of people come to me. Arti, Artharti, those who are desirer of wealth and those who are distressed. An example is given of Gajendra. So, Arti means distress and Britya means servant. And Hum, this is not Aham, okay? This is not aham, but this is hum. Hum against means destroy. So this personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he destroys the distress of his servants. So one who takes shelter of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, then all his distress, his and her distress will be destroyed because he is Brityarthihan. He destroys the distress of all his servants. And in this regard, we all know the example, I'll not quote, but example of Brahmana Vasudev, who was afflicted with leprosy in Chaitanya Leela. And finally, he was relieved of all his distress by Mahaprabhu. Now comes the sixth, Pranata Pala. So he is a
Pranatapala. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Pranatapala. Pala, we all know. Pala means palan karna, like to protect. And Pranata means one who bows down to Lord even once. Pranata, even once if somebody bows down to the Lord, then the Lord protects him. Pranatapala. So he is Pranatapala. And we all know the famous verse from Ramayana, Sakradeva prapannoya stavasmi iti yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadati etad vratam mama. Where Lord Ramachandra says, when Sugriva came, all the monkeys said, no, how can you say that Sugriva is innocent? He cannot be, right? Fruits of the same trees are same. You cannot get a mango fruit on apple tree or orange in a mango tree. No, you cannot. So how can you say that Sugriva is innocent? Then Lord Ramachandra said, no matter, even if he is not, still, Sakradeva prapannoyas, even if once somebody bows down, I'll accept him. What to talk of Sugriva? Even Ravana comes and bows down, I'll forgive him and I'll accept him as my dearmost. Sakradeva prapannayas tavasmi iti yachate. And what do I do? Abhayam sarvada tasmai. I give him fearlessness. Dadami etav vratam mama. That is my vow. That is my vow that I will give. Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mad evashyasi yuktaivyam atmanam mad parayanaha. So what he says, that manmana bhava mad bhakto. Even Krishna says that you have to be absorbed. Always engage your mind in me. Well, if you cannot do that, manmana bhava mad bhakto, if you cannot do that, madhyaji, then you just become my devotee. Oh, I cannot become. It is so much to become your devotee, Krishna. Then Krishna says, mam namaskuru, at least bow down in front of me. So offer obeisances to me. And then you will be completely absorbed in me. Why? Because I will take care of all your distresses and then you will surely become to me. And this is how important it is to bow down. Pranata palan. Even if once we bow down to Krishna, Krishna counts it. All the Shat Goswamis, we all know the examples that how they bow down. They would count that how much times they have bow down. Sankhya purvaka nama gana nati bhi kalavasani kritau nidrahara vihara kadi vijitau chatyanta dinau chayo radha krishna gunasmritir madhuri manandena sammohitau vande rupa sanatanau raghu yugoshi jiva gopalakau. Sankhya purvak, by counting nama gana nati bhi, they will chant, they will sing Krishna's name, and natibhi, they will bow down. So sankhya purvak, they will count how many times they have bowed down, how many times they have chanted their rounds. They will keep a count of everything. Our dear Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was on the banks of Radhakund, it has been explained that he used to bow down 1,000 times to the deities of Krishna and 2,000 times to the Vaishnavas. So how important it is that we have to bow down. And Sakradeva prapannayas. And even if once we bow down, then he will take care of us. He is Pranatapala. He will take care of all our, he will protect us. Whosoever bow down, even once, he will take care. So whenever we go to temple, whenever we visit any holy places, we should make it a point that we should bow down. We should not be lazy. Even how many ever times we are entering the temple, while entering and while exiting, we should make it a point that we bow down. We offer our obeisances. We should offer our, even the curtains are closed, still we should offer obeisances because dear most Srila Prabhupada is present there. Right? So it is very, very important that as soon as we enter the temple hall, we should pay obeisances. And as soon as we exit, we should pay obeisances. How many ever times, maybe if some work we have to go out and again we have to come back, again make it a point, offer obeisances. It is so important to bow down in front of Lord Shri Krishna. So he's Pranatapala. Why? Because one who bow downs will rise in bhakti. Right? You bow down, and you will rise in bhakti. In this regard, I was remembering that how important The example is being given in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Gopinath Patnaik, when he was about to be hanged on the orders of the son of King Prataprudra, that Badajana. And we all know the story. I'll not go the pastime. I'll not repeat it. But the point is that Gopinath Patnaik, at that time, he was misusing the money, right? But when he got this death sentence, he was about to hang. Gopinath Patnaik surrendered himself. And in his mind, only Manas, he bowed down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately, as soon as in his mind he bowed down, immediately one servant of King Prataprudra came and he told the son of King Prataprudra that, wait, Prataprudra, King Prataprudra said that, you know, his death sentence is to be cancelled. He's not supposed to give this punishment. Rather, his salary should be increased 3 times because maybe his salary is not enough and that's why, you know, he got into all these scrupulous activities. That's why he got into all this. But so if we increase his salary 3 times, then probably, you know, he'll be a good person. So this is what happened. This is the result of just bowing down in mind, manasa bow down to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should not think that, you know, I'm such an exalted person. I have a position in the temple. And why should I bow down in front of devotees in temple? You know, that's pride. That's totally on the basis of pride. So we should not fall into this kind of category. There is a very famous, Padya by Kabir Dasti. He says, Bada hua to kya hua jaise ped khajur. Bada hua to kya hua jaise ped khajur. Panthi ko chhaya nahi phal lage ati dur. So if you have some designation, some position in your life and you don't bow down, you are not humble, then what's the use of your bhakti? Just like the tree of dates, you know, it's such a big tree. You know, bada hua to kya hua? Even if you are so tall, it's very tall tree. But, you know, jaise ped khajur, just like the tree of dates, panthi ko chhaya nahi, doesn't give shade to all the travelers. Why? Because it is pretty long and it is not wide, rather it is just tall. Right? And panthi ko chhaya nahi, phal lage ati dur. And even the fruits is so far away that it cannot be reached, you know, by the traveler. So what is the use of such a big tree? So what is the use of our big position, our big designation, if we cannot be humble, if we cannot bow down to Vaishnavas? The last phrase is bhavabdhipotam, very, very important. So again, bhava, we all discussed. Bhava means this cycle of repeated birth and death. And abdhi means ocean. So bhavabdhi, and he is in this entire ocean of birth and death. This Mahaprabhu is potam, is boat. So the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who takes shelter of that lotus feet is a boat. It becomes a boat to cross over this entire ocean of repeated birth and death. So how important this is. In this regard, I was just thinking that even when Krishna got conceived, you know, just when Krishna entered into the womb of Mother Devaki, at that time, very beautiful prayers by demigods, which are entitled as Garbhastuti, it is being described in that also. I'll just read the translation. It says, O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat, as the potam, as the nav, by which to cross the ocean of nuisance, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans. And by this simple process, what happened? This entire ocean, it becomes just like a step over the hook print of a calf. So hook print of a calf, how much water it can hold, it becomes a small puddle that even a child can just cross over. So this is the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. are the real boat, are the potam through which we can cross over this bhavabdi, this bhavasagar, this ocean of material birth and death. And in this regard, I was also remembering Gaurangi Mataji's question that, you know, why only lotus feet? So as we all discussed, that we don't have the eligibility to go beyond. In sadhaka deha, we are just bhritya, 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 bhritya. We are dasa, 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 anudas. So we have only eligibility to worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That's the only eligibility. That's the only adhikar. That's the only authority that we have. So he's saying that all these qualities are there. All these qualities are there in that Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam personality. And therefore, Dhyayam Sada, we should always meditate on him, always remember him. And last line, Vande Mahapurusham Te Charanaravindam. Therefore, Karabhajan Muni is saying that I bow down to that supreme Mahapurusha, to that supreme personality of God, and to his lotus feet, Charanaravinda, his lotus feet, I bow down to him. We'll read the translation. My dear Lord, you are Mahapurusha, the supreme personality of Godhead, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of my meditation, Dheyam Sada. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. So remember, right, how? Paribhavagnam, it destroys the material embarrassing conditions, the insulting conditions of material life. And then what it gives? Abhishtadoham, and it gives the greatest desire of the soul, which is pure love, that is Krishna Prema. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all the holy places and all the saintly authorities in the devotional line. Tirthas padam. Right? And not only them, but they are honored by wonderful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. And that we read as Shiva Virinchi Nutam Sharanyam. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect. Bhrityarthi ham pranatapala. Right? And you take them, mercifully relieve them from the distress of your servants. And in conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over this ocean of birth and death. That is Bhavabdhi Potam. So this is the verse and this is the translation that has also been described by Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this verse. He also describes another verse, but we don't have time. So I'll just quickly tell you what that verse is. He states the translation of that another verse, and that verse is just the next verse to this. Yeah, this is Tyaktva Sudushta Jasuripshita Raja Lakshmin Dharmishta Aryavachasayad Agada Aranyam Maya Mrigam Daitaipshtam Anavatadad Vande Mahapurusha Ticharinaravindam. So this is also a very classic verse. I'll just take 5 minutes and then we'll wrap up. So this verse is describing the three personalities, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as Krishna by, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur only. I'm forgetting. 1 minute. Yeah, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this verse. Yeah, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami represents this verse as the verse glorifying Lord Shri Krishna, and our original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Sridhar Swami, describes this verse as the glorification of Ramachandra. So we'll quickly go through Tyaktva. Tyaktva means to give away. So Dushtajya. Dushtajya means to give up, which is very difficult to give. And So Dushtajya means extremely difficult to give. So something which is extremely difficult to give have been given up by a personality. Surepshita, and that
thing, which is very difficult to give up, is actually desirable by the demigods, by the suras. Ipshita. Ipshita means very, very desirable. And what is that thing? Raja Lakshmi, the royal throne and royal wealth. And what is that? If we go for Sridhar Swami, it is Lord Ramachandra. How Ramachandra very simply gave up, which is very, very difficult to give, and which is utmost desire by the suras, by the demigods. He gave up the throne of Ayodhya. And why he gave up? Dharmishtha, just to establish dharma. He gave up that throne. And on the account of Arya Vachasa, on the account of the vacha, the talk, the speech of his father, of his superior. Arya means superior. Yad Agad Aranyam. And after, just to establish dharma and to honor the speech of his superior, Yad Agad Aranyam. Agad means he went. He went to Aranyam. Aranyam means forest. Maya Mrigam. And then what happened? The illusionary deer. Mrigam means animal. Mrigam means deer. The illusionary Maya, illusionary animal came. And Daita Ipshitam. Daita means his beloved. His beloved Ipshitam. His beloved desire to have that deer. So Anvadhad. And to fulfill the desire of his beloved, Lord Ramachandra ran. Thither and thither he was running from this corner of the forest to that corner just to catch that deer. So Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. I bow down to that Supreme Lord Ramachandra. This is the commentary by Srila Sridhar Goswami. Now, our Jiva Goswami says, well, this can be interpreted to Lord Sri Krishna also. How? Taktva su dushtajya surepshita raja lakshmi. Lord Sri Krishna also gave up, which is very, very difficult to give, which is desirable by all the demigods, by all the suras. And what is that? Raja Lakshmi, the city of Mathura, which was so opulent at that time, right? So, which was very difficult, but our Lord Sri Krishna simply gave up that city of Mathura. And for what? Dharmishtha, to establish dharma. And which dharma? Prema dharma. Because he knows that all Rajvasis are drowning in the pool, in the ecstasy of prem. So he wants to establish that prema dharma. So therefore, he just immediately gave up the city of Mathura. Arya Vachasa, on account of his talk of his superiors. Why? Because when Krishna appeared in prison house, he appeared in the four-handed form. But because Mother Devaki and Vasudev said that, no, if somebody sees you in this four-handed form, then Kamsa will immediately come to know that, yes, you are the personality who is destined to kill him. So he'll immediately come and he'll kill you. So we don't want, so please take your two-handed form. So he said, on Arya Vachasa, on the desire of my superiors, I took that two-handed form and I left that Mathura to establish that prema dharma. Yad agad aranyam, and immediately went to Aranyam, the forest of Vrindavan. And there, maya mrigam daita ipshtisam arnadavan. And that time I was maya mrigam. Maya mrigam, maya means illusory, and mrigam also means animal. So I was acting like an animal there. I was a play toy. I was an animal in the hands of Daita Ipshtim, to my very dear beloved Srimati Radharani. I was a play toy in her hands, and Anvadhad, and I would run in one forest to another, to from a different, all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. I was simply running just to have that intimate relationship, just to have that conjugal pastimes with my dearmost Srimati Radharani. So Maya Mrigam, I was just like a play toy. The way she wants me to dance, I was dancing from one forest to another to fulfill her desire. Vande Mahapurusham Te Charanaravindam. I bow down to that Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. But then our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, well, this can also apply to our Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why Karbhajana Muni is actually quoting this verse, because this verse refers to Mahaprabhu. It's only the commentary. You know, different personalities have different as per their own realizations. But Karbhajana Muni, he's quoting, right? 32, 33, 34. He is giving the context of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, that who he is Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam.
So he's saying that even this verse can be applied to Mahaprabhu. How? Taktvasu dustajya suripshita raja lakshmi. He immediately gave up, which is very, very difficult to give up. What he gave up? Grahastha ashram. It is very difficult to give up grahastha ashram. It's andhakoopam, Prahlad Maharaj says. This is a blind well. And it's one gets so much entangled in the different relationships of this grahastha ashram. You know, it's very, very difficult to give up. But Lord, our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up, very easily gave up, something which was very, very difficult to give up and which was very, very desirable even by the demigods. And what is that? Raja Lakshmi. Here it is referred to Mother Vishnu Priya. He immediately gave up the association of Vishnu Priya, who is the goddess of fortune. Even the demigods want the association of goddess of fortune. They are always desirable to have goddess of fortune or goddess of Lakshmi. But our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately gave up. And then for what? Dharmishtha. And he want to establish dharma. And which dharma? Sankirtana yagna. He want to establish Sankirtana dharma. The dharma of love of Godhead. Prema dharma, right? Sankirtana dharma he want to establish. And he agad aranyam. And so he left. He took sannyas order of life. And he went from forest to forest. He went to Vrindavan. He went to Jagannath Puri. He went for a South India tour. And finally, though, he settled in Jagannath Puri. But Arya Vachasa, he did it on the account of his superior. His superior said. So in this case, Prabhupada writes in the purport that in Adi Leela, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was one Brahmana who was very famous, very well known for his anger and for cursing others. He was very well known, but he was a Pakka Brahmana, you know, and he once decided, wants to enter the confidential Sankirtan that Mahaprabhu used to do in Shiva's Angan. So he wants to enter. This is the whole pastime in the Adi Leela, I think. So it's chapter 18 or 19. That this Brahmana wants to take part in that. But he was refused. The doors were locked. He knocked, but he was not allowed to enter. So what he did, he became so angry that he broke his Brahman thread and he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said that, I curse you because you are not letting me enter into this kirtan. I curse you that you will be bereft of all your material opulences and material enjoyment. And that's what Mahaprabhu wanted, because he wants to renounce everything. So just, you know, of course, Mahaprabhu's desire was there, but just, you know, externally, he wants to fulfill, he wants to give respect to the curse of that Brahmana. So he accepted. So therefore, our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Arya Vachasa, that on the vachan, on the curse of that Brahmana, Mahaprabhu accepted this. And he gave up and he accepted this renounced order of life and agad aranyam, and he roamed from forest to forest. Then maya mrigam. Maya is illusionary. Mrigam, mrigam here refers to, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. Let me just check. Sometimes you get really, you know, lost. Yeah, mriga means to search out, to search out. So maya mrigam, those conditioned souls who are simply roaming around in this world. So what Mahaprabhu is saying, he is searching out. He's searching out those conditioned souls, those who are influenced by this illusory energy of maya. Why? Because, and for what purpose? Daita. Daita also means to bestow mercy. Daita means beloved. Daita also means to bestow mercy. Because he wants to bestow mercy onto those conditioned souls and andhaval. So he was running from one place to another. He was catching hold of all the conditioned souls. He was searching out mrigam. He was searching out all those people who are drowned in that illusionary conception of life. And he was searching out. He was hugging them. He was talking to them. And he was giving Krishna prem to them. Krishna prem adan he was giving. And he was running around. He was going around from place to place just to liberate these personalities. Vande Mahapurushaste Charanaravindam. So we'll stop here. This is what Mahaprabhu's advent has been described, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is quoting these two verses, the translations of these two verses in his purport of 148. So I thought it is very, very important. 149. Ati Mahavega Gopya E Shukla Katha E Sakala Katha Iha Hate Sande Ke Chu Nahika Sarvatha. Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that these topics are of very highly confidential truth. Of this, there is no doubt. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll continue with verse number 150. I'm so sorry I took half an hour extra, but I thought that, you know, this is such an important verses, so we should cover it. So thank you all so much. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai, Thakur ki jai. Okay, let's see if you have quick questions or comments, or we can end up immediately. No worries.
Hare Krishna, Kriti Sundari Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for a very, very beautiful and nectaring class today. You spoke about the Navdeep Vasis, how they got pride and they fell in their bhakti. That teaches us how one should always be humble in one's bhakti if you want to progress in the bhakti. You also talked about Lord, when Lord comes, and he always, whenever he takes birth, he always brings everybody, his entourage, with him. He never comes alone. Then you beautifully described how when Nityananda, who's Balram, took birth to Padmavati Mataji, everybody was happy. And he took birth in Radesh, Ekachakra. I really liked when you explained, if one chants the Krishna name, but without Gaur Mahaprabhu's shelter, it will take them a lifetime to attain Lord Krishna. But once you take Gaur Mahaprabhu's mercy and you chant the name, because Mahaprabhu is so merciful, they forgive all of our prayers. It's very, you know, then the doubt, there's no doubt that one will attain Lord Krishna. Thank you so much for a very, very nectarian class today. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, if you have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yes, thank you so much for class. I have a few questions. Most of them are just for spelling. But one is, you know, as you just mentioned, Lord Chaitanya, I mean, yes, he wanted to honor the curse of the Brahmana, but also, you know, he was able to, I would say, easily renounce his grihastha life with Vishnu Priya, right? And so my problem is trying to reconcile the fact that he was able to give her up so easily, but at the same time, I mean, I'm sure we know that he has such intense love for her. So how to reconcile this? I mean, we know that he is, one of his opulences is that, is for renunciation, you know? But this renunciation, when it comes to his deep love for his beloved, how to reconcile?
For higher purpose. To establish the higher purpose, Krishna can do anything. Like a lot of allegations are being thrown on Lord Ramachandra also, that how can he just gave up Mother Sita, especially when she was pregnant. And the answer is higher purpose. So for higher purpose, because his coming, his taking avatar in incarnation in this world, in this material world, was not to enjoy his grasta life with Vishnu Priya, but to establish Yoga Dharma and to experience Radha Bhav. So for higher purpose, he renounced everything.
Yeah, actually I was thinking like that too. So I just needed this confirmation, you know, that when he leaves, whether as Lord Ramchandra or as Lord Chaitanya, it's not a commentary on how he feels about his consort. It's you know, like in English, we have this saying,
Srila Lochandas Thakur in Chaitanya Mangal, he describes a beautiful conversation between Vishnu Priya and
Mahaprabhu, before Mahaprabhu took sannyas, one night before, when he informed Mother Vishnu Priya that I am taking sannyas, there is a beautiful conversation. Really, if you read it, you know, the tears will definitely flow from your eyes. That the conversation went through, and Mahaprabhu was actually seeking permission from Vishnu Priya that please, please, please allow me. I know it will be very difficult for you to survive. It will be very difficult for Mother Shachi because Jagannath Mishra has already left. So he knew that it was very difficult for you all to survive, but please allow me to go through because this is what for my purpose. This is the purpose for what I come for. So, you know, how Vishnu Priya gave her the permission, how Vishnu Priya surrendered to Mahaprabhu, and she asked that, you know, how can I serve you? Then Mahaprabhu said that you can make a deity out of me and you can regularly chant. So this is the whole description being given. It's not that Mahaprabhu was hard-hearted. It was very difficult for him also, but he gave up for the higher purpose.
In that description, you know, I was hoping to also hear, yes, I know it will be very difficult for you, but I also wanted to hear, yes, it's going to be so difficult for me too.
Yeah.
But he did not say like that in that conversation, right?
He just asked for the permission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said that if you don't permit me, I cannot take sannyas. So he literally asked for the permission that only and only if you permit, go forward with it. And finally, Vishnu Priya, you know, she agreed.
This
is in Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I've heard of this conversation before.
Can I just add something? I was also thinking, if you think about it, you know, how loving must have been Lakshmipriya and of course Sita. I mean, so this is like the mother willing to do something for her children, right? Because that's what we are to them both, right? We're their children. So the sacrifices that the parents you know, Lakshmipriya and Lord Ramachandra and Sita do for the benefit of their children. Right? So this is the true meaning of sacrifice, is what I was just thinking too. So I just had to add that to my mind.
Thank you. Okay, Mataji, can you just spell a couple of things? Before that, you know, one thing that is a bit of a confusion for me, you know, as you were saying, when we bow down, leaving the temple, you know, entering the temple, we should bow down, even leaving because Srila Prabhupada is there. So I get mixed kind of information, you know, because I remember I asked one pujari about this, and he was saying that, you know, when the curtains are closed, we should also consider that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is also like taking rest. You know, so, you know, we should treat him the same way, you know, like, so.
That's the Prabhupada is present, like deities are present. But when curtain is closed in afternoon or in the night time, at that time, some devotees, because those who have just see Lord Shri Krishna only in the deity form, they think that, okay, now curtains are closed, so Krishna is not seeing me, so I don't need to bow down. But even if that conception is there, then to them I'm saying that don't have that conception, that at least Prabhupada is there. Even though Prabhupada is also resting, because when we give Shayan to the Supreme Lord, we first give Shayan to Radha and Krishna, to Gaur Nithai, and then we also give Shayan to Paramaguru Prabhupada and to our own spiritual master also. That's the process. All the pujaris, you know, they should know that this is the process. So when we give Shayan, we invite everybody. We invite Radha and Krishna with the mantras. We invite Mahaprabhu. We invite Nityananda. Then we invite Prabhupada. And then we invite our own guru also. And we give them Shayan. But still, Prabhupada is there. That murti is there because that is not closed. And even if it is closed, still their presence should be acknowledged in the temple all the time. And therefore, whenever you enter, whenever you exit, it's a proper etiquette to bow down. That's what I was telling.
Okay, yeah. You know, the idea was that, you know, to bow down when the resting is like a, it's kind of something like a disturbance to them.
No, it's not a disturbance. How can it be a disturbance for them? You are simply bowing down. Even the pujari, when he bows down, when he gives shayan and he closes the altar, the pujari should bow down outside the altar, saying that, okay, now they are resting. So he pays his obeisances. So paying obeisances is never a disturbance. Even when my spiritual master used to come, he used to take rest in one of the room. And as soon as the door is closed, we offer the obeisances even to the door. Morning time, we offer the obeisances to the door and then knock the door that Maharaj is awake or not to check. So paying obeisances is nowhere disturbing. You know, when spiritual master goes in the car, he leaves it, but still we pay obeisances on the road. No, this is the proper etiquette.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah, the reason why they said disturbance was because now they have to acknowledge you, you know, like that. You know, even though they're resting, now they have to acknowledge you because, you know, anyway.
They'll acknowledge in their spirits, you know. When the spiritual master leaves in the car, spiritual master is not there to see you. But for them who consider spiritual master as an ordinary soul or as an ordinary man, but those who consider him as Paramhamsa, you know, for them, spiritual master is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Going down is actually a proper etiquette.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's the translation for Shayan?
For?
Shayan.
Shayan means giving rest. Sorry. Shayan means giving rest to the deities.
Yeah.
That is called the Shayan.
Oh, okay. 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 Can you just, this is the last thing. Just if you could just spell a couple of words for me. Ek Chakra Dham is in the region of what place? I couldn't get the place properly.
It's actually Radesh. But it is R-A-D-H-A. So when you write it in English language, it is R-A-D-H-A. So when you read, those who cannot read Bengali or Sanskrit, they read Radha Desh, which is also equally.
Oh, that's it. That's, yeah. Because Radha Desh I heard, but the way you pronounce it, you were saying more Bengali way? Bengali way?
It's a Bengali way. Radha Desh, actually.
Radha Desh. Okay, that was my confusion. Radha Desh, I know.
My spiritual master is Bengali, so I came to
Yeah, of course.
He pronounced previously as Radha, which he said it's okay, but actually the word is Ra.
Yeah, because there's a dot under the D,
right? Yeah, there is a dot.
Oh, okay. And last one is that you mentioned the name of that prostitute who was trying to disrupt Haridas Thakur's bhajan, right? So what was her name?
Lakshahira.
Laksha, you remember how to spell her name?
L-A-K-S-H-A-H-I-R-A, Lakshahira.
L-A-K-S-H-A, and then?
H-I-R-A.
S-H-I-R-A.
I'll write it.
Yes. Yeah, Lakshahira.
Lakshahira, H-I-R-A.
Okay.
H-I-R-A.
Okay, Lakshahira. Okay, Mataji, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very nice class, and I was very excited that you're covering the birth of both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So thank you so much. Very happy about it. And Mataji, I had two questions from the class. The class was wonderful. So much involvement. You were talking. It was so nice to also get involved in the class. So thank you so much for that. Two questions, Mataji. The first question was, you were talking about how Shachi Mata, she lost her first six daughters.
Hmm.
Eight daughters. So is there any description of who they were or why she had to lose those eight or something like that? Any discussion regarding that? Yeah, further discussion in any of the books?
I couldn't find. It's just mentioned that 8 daughters of Sachi Mata were expired, and then the most fortunate Vishwarupa appeared as her son.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. And the second question was about the Brahmin who spelled the curse. Does Garganodeshti, because some of these scriptures mention or relate to Brahmana to someone else in Krishna Leela?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. It's just in the 19th chapter.
So what's the name of the Brahman?
Just mentioned Vipra. It's just mentioned Vipra. One Brahmana. Okay. Just one Brahmana.
One Brahmana.
And he was very well known, very famous for his giving curse and getting angry.
I was just thinking, is that relating it to Daksha or Durva or someone like that? So that's why I asked. You know, because they give curses, right? So, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Mataji. It was very, very it was nice. It was so nice that it was very immersing. Like, you could really get into the Leela as you were talking. I think that is because of your involvement in it. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Done with pranam. Sorry, somebody else wants to speak.
Go ahead, Sukhsagri Mataji.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna Mataji, nice class Mataji. I was just thinking, you know, when Gaurangi Mataji asked that question, even when we go to temples in South India, when the deities are resting, the pujaris tell us not to pay obeisances. I mean, these are like the general, I'm not referring to the ISKCON temples, but then they say it will disturb because the lordships will feel obliged to see, okay, their devotee has come and, you know, they have to respond to them or, you know, like, because generally people go with some plea. So that's what even I have seen, at least in Indian tradition like that, like they don't pay obeisances, they don't do prahara, like they don't do parikrama around the deities when they are resting, just so, you know, they can sleep nicely without us disturbing them. You know, that's the mood of not doing that. It's not like they don't regard the deities not there or something, but they feel that, you know, we should not go and disturb them with some other plea now. And then the Lord will wake up and is like, okay, what does my devotee have to say? So that's the mood actually. And when Gaurangi Mataji,
because they're always, you know, especially in Sri Sampradaya, the mood is always of awe and reverence, right? And then if you go with the list, then definitely the pujari will say that no more list anymore. But here, when devotees pay obeisances, they are not seeking for anything, any blessings, but they are simply acknowledging that they are fortunate enough. They are showing their gratefulness and their humility, that they are fortunate to at least enter into that temple. So yes, you know, paying obeisances in the temple is always recommended and is a proper etiquette. But also, as Nectar of Devotion says, that we should not pay obeisances in the altar. So paying obeisances in the altar is definitely not recommended, but in the temple it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I was not referring to Sri Vaishnava. In general, any temple we go in South India, let's say. And I mean, that's what I was trying to, you know, when Gaurangi Mataji said that, this just came to my mind because I remember when we were young and we went to, you know, different temples, not just Sri Vaishnava, even other temples too, you know, and they follow this kind of, you know, like just so that the Lord is not disturbed. I just wanted to add that, Mataji. And I had one question. You said even the demigods are longing for the association of Goddess Lakshmi. I didn't understand what you mean by that.
The opulence. What does Goddess of Lakshmi provides? The fortune, the opulence. So they always want Goddess of Lakshmi with them. Means her opulence, her wealth. Indra is always desirous of his position. He doesn't want to let go of it. And that opulence, that position comes from Goddess of Lakshmi.
Oh, so you're equating the position to wealth over here. Okay. Sure, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Position comes from fortune. Position comes from wealth. So that is what is Goddess of Fortune is.
Mm-hmm.
She gives fortune, she gives wealth.
Sure, Mataji. Thank you so much, beautiful class. There are also a lot of verses from Mukunda Mala which, yeah, you know, speak of the same subject. And I was reminded of two or three verses.
Time was short, so I didn't quote Mukundamala verses.
Yeah, beautiful verses.
But time was not enough. Otherwise, there have many verses, even from Srimad Bhagavatam also. But I just picked the main one then. But thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, I just forgot one personality I wanted to ask you about. You said Lord Brahma, he came as Virinchini or
Virinchi.
Huh?
Virinchi. Lord Brahma's name is Virinchi.
Virinchi, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think I've heard that once before, but it's basically very unfamiliar for me, just this name for Lord Brahma. Virinchi. He came as Virinchi during what Leela?
No, his name is Virinchi. Brahma's another name is Virinchi. And he came as Srila Haridas Thakur in Gaur Leela.
But is his name Virinchi as Lord Brahma? When he is Lord Brahma in that role? And that's... Is there a translation for that name, Virinchi?
Wherever Prabhupada mentions, he mentions that it's the another name of Lord Brahma.
Okay.
I can just find it for you. So actually, it always says that Virinchi refers to Lord Brahma.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The source.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, anything else?
Hare Krishna, Kriti Rishindi Mataji. Once again, I would like to thank you for your valuable association and time today. Dear devotees, if there are no more questions or realizations, with Mataji's permission and all the devotees' permission, I would like to close the call.
Yes, go ahead.
Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu eva cha patitanam pavane bhyo vaisnim bhyo namo nama ananta vaisnavind ki jai namacharya haridas thakur ji ki jai shri prabhupad ki jai shri chaitanya bhagavat class ki jai grace kirtina sundari mata ji ki jai all glorious assembled devotees
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
All the assembled devotees ki jai.